Today's shiur is Masechta Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph, and we will begin on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, 12 lines from the top. The Mishnah mentioned certain subjects that are discussed in the Torah, Mikra Muat V'Halachas Merubas. There's not a lot of psukim on these subjects, but there are a lot of halachas, a lot of dinim involved in these subjects. Says the Gemara Tana, we learned in a braisa, and the Gaon V'Alois are both examples of Mikra Muat V'Halachas Merubas. Not a lot of psukim, but a lot of halachas. Ask the Gemara, Negoyim, Mikra Muat? There's not a lot of psukim about Negoyim? Negoyim Mikra Merubahu, Parshas Tazria, Parshas Mitzayra, discuss all of the halachas of Negoyim. So how could we say that there's not a lot of psukim? Rapapa says, Rapapa Hachikama. What the Gemara means to say is, Negoyim is a situation of Mikra Meruba, of a lot of psukim, halachas mu'atais, but not many psukim. Not a lot of halachas. Alois is just the opposite. It's Mikra Mu'at, and not a lot of psukim in the Torah that discuss the dinim of Taharis. But on the other hand, halachas merubas. There are a lot of halachas referring to Tumat Tahara. Ask the Gemara, my nafkamina, what's the difference to know if there's a lot of psukim, a lot of halachas, well, what's the point? Answers the Gemara. And the basis of the Gemara answer is that a Talmud Chacham is not specifically someone that knows the answer to every question. A Talmud Chacham is the one that knows where to look for the answer. And what the Gemara says is, Im istav kachla milsa ben negoim, if you have a question regarding Hilchos Negoim, so where do you look for the answer? Ayin b'kroi, look in the Chumash. The Chumash is very detailed when it discusses Negoim. It even goes as far as to mention all the different shades. That's how detailed the psukim are. On the other hand, if you have a question regarding Tumat Tahara, don't look in a Chumash, because it's not going to be so helpful. I even misnis, and the place to look for is in the Mishnayis and the Gemara. That's where you'll find your answer. The Mefarshim use this Gemara to prove a very important halachic point. We know the rule is Safak Deraisa L'Chumra, that whenever there's a question about a Deraisa, the subject that's a Deraisa, and we don't know what to do, we have to go L'Chumra. What's the din regarding a halach l'moshe m'sinai? It's not in the Torah, but it's halach l'moshe m'sinai. Does halach l'moshe m'sinai have the same status as a daraisa? So this Gemara is used to prove that it does. Because our Gemara is saying that a question, that what's the difference between the Goyim and Olois? The Gemara says, like we just explained, where to look for the answer. If a Safak daraisa is l'chumra, and a Safak l'moshe m'sinai is Lakula, the Gemara could have given a much simpler difference. That by Negoyim, where everything is in the Torah, Safak Deraisa L'Chumra. By Alois, which is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai's, go Lakula. The fact that the Gemara doesn't give that answer, say to Mefarshim, is a proof, and that's the way we actually hold, that not only by a Deraisa do we go Safak L'Chumra, but also by Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, we go L'Chumra. Dinim, the next example that Mishnah gave of something which is not a lot of psukim, but a lot of halachas, is dinim, civil cases. Ask the Gemara, michtav ksivin, there are plenty of psukim in the Torah, pashas mishpatim, that discuss the situations of monetary obligations. Says the Gemara, lenitzcha el kederebi. It's coming to teach us the din of Rebbe, the Tanya, Rebbe Oimer. The pasuk says, nefesh tachas nefesh. The pasuk discusses a situation where two people were in an altercation, and one of them, instead of hitting his opponent, hit a woman. And the Torah says what has to be paid is nefesh tachas nefesh. And Rebbe says that it doesn't mean to be taken literally, nefesh tachas nefesh, but rather mumen. You have to pay the value of what damage you did. Says Rebbe, ata omer mumen, do you have to pay money? Or ain't el nefesh mamish? Perhaps what the Torah means to say is that you actually have to kill this person. Says the Gemara, Nemrin Nesina Lamata. The Torah speaks about paying when somebody did damage, the word Nesina. But Nemrin Nesina Lamala in this parasha. Mala Halan, when you do damage, the pasuk means mamin, not paying with your life, paying what you did damage. Afkan mamin. So the Torah is teaching us, so what the chiddush, what the what the halacha that's not written in the Torah is that it says nefesh tachas nefesh, but it doesn't mean pay with your life, it means pay with money. And as the Mefarshim say, if the Mishnah, and we're going to try to learn the Gemara on this approach, if the Mishnah is singling this out, there must be something unique here. What's unique about Dinam? Very simple. The Torah uses the words nefesh tachas nefesh. Nefesh tachas nefesh, if we take it for its literal translation, means to kill the person. And the Gemara is just taking it to the opposite. Don't kill, make him pay. So that's something that's not to be taken literally, and that's why it's a chiddush that our Mishnah singles out. As Tosfos, Rebbe holds that if one intended to hit his opponent and hits a woman, so since it wasn't premeditated, you only have to pay, you don't get killed for that. But there's another mandomer, Tosfos says, Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that you don't get killed for that, as Rebbe said, but you don't have to pay either. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan says, we have this concept many times in Shas, Chayvi Misa Shagigin. If the person had done a B'mezid, he would be Chayv Misa. Therefore, even though it was not B'mezid, you don't have to pay Mammon, because we say Kimlev de Rabbanei. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's not what the Pasuk Nefesh Tachas Nefesh means, because you don't even pay money in such a circumstance. So we're back to where we started. What does the Mishnah mean with Dinim? Answers Tosfos, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, what it means to say is also something that we're all familiar with. The Torah says that if somebody does damage, physical damage to someone else, the Torah uses the words ayin takas ayin, an eye for an eye. But we all know, Rashi tells us that already in Parashas Mishpatim, that ayin takas ayin should not be taken literally. You don't poke out his eye, even though you don't poke out the eye of the person who damaged somebody else's eye, you make him pay the value. So again, that's what the Mishnah means, that even though the Torah uses the words ayin tachas ayin, they're not to be taken literally, it means to pay the value. The next example that the Mishnah gave of something that's mikra mu'ut, v'alachas merubas, avoidus. The dinam of doing that void in the base of Mikdash. Again, ask the Gemara, michta chsivin, the Seyd of Yikra discusses kabonis. What's not there in the Torah? Says the Gemara, lo'nitzucha el alachastam. To the din, that when the blood, after it's received, after the shechita, is carried by the kohen to the mizbeach, that halachastam should be done with all the halacha of avoida has to be done by the kohen, and he's not allowed to have the raw machshava, etc. What's unique? The Tanya. The pasuk says, v'kriva. The pasuk says that the blood should be brought to the mizbeach. However, says the Braisa, don't define the word v'hikriva, as we all know, that's the taicha of the word v'hikriva, bringing it. It means zukabol stam. It means the taking the dam after the shechita into a vessel. So if the Torah means Kabbalah, why does the Torah use the word halacha? The ksib, because the pasuk says v'kriva koinas akol, v'ekter amizbecha, v'amamaz v'halachas avar mekeves. What the Gemara is teaching us, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, is that even though halacha is not essential, why is halacha not essential? Because what would happen if you shech the carbon right next to the mizbeach? So there's nothing to carry. Teaches us the pasuk, you don't have to necessarily do halacha. But if you did it, lememra, to teach us the halacha like tifka mikla kabbalah, that it should have the same halacha, that it has to be done 100% properly. You don't have to do it. But if you do it, you have to do it right. So again, what's unique? That the pasuk used the word v'hikriv, and we're defining it some with a different pshat altogether. It says the word v'hikriv, and we're saying that it means kabbalah. That's what the chiddush that the Mishnah is referring to is. So I saw a beautiful vart, from the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer makes an observation. He says the Torah, when it speaks about somebody bringing a tzoin for a carbon, speaks about the karev akraim, when you bring the inner portion of the animal, the hikriv. You should bring it to the mizbeach. When the Torah speaks about a shor, the Torah says the karev akraim, the hikter. It should be burnt. The Torah doesn't use the word the hikriv. So ask the Chassam Sofer, why does the Torah use here the word v'hikriv, and here does the Torah use the word v'hikdir, burning it? So it says a beautiful teretz. A tzoin is usually used for carbon oila. A carbon oila, as those that say kabbonis know, shchitasa b'tzofen, has to be slaughtered in the northern portion of the Azara. Where is it brought? Where's the Haktara? On the Kevis, on the ramp of the Mizbeach, which is on the south side. So every time you shecht the tzayin, you're going to have to carry it. You have to take it from the tzafayin to the darim. The shor, on the other hand, is brought as a shlomim. A shlomim, there is no specific place in the Azara where you have to shecht it. You could shecht it in the darim. You could shecht it in the south side. So therefore it says the hikdir, because you don't have to carry it. You could shecht it and burn it right on the same spot. Continues the Gemara. Taharis. The next example was Taharis, of something that's Mikra Mu'ud V'alachas Merubas. So the Gemara Michtav Sivan. The Pasuk does speak about Taharis. Says the Gemara L'nitzchel Shir Mikva the like Siva. What the Mishnah is referring to is to teach us the shear of a mikvah, what's the minimum size of a mikvah, that the Torah doesn't clearly indicate. The Tanya, as the Brisa says, the Pasuk says V'rochetz Es Besaroi B'mayim. Rashi says it says ba'mayim with a pasach under the bays to teach us b'mei mikvah. You have to use a mikvah. Rashi says to exclude mayim shuvim. You're not allowed to draw water and pour it into a mikvah. That will be disqualified as a mikvah. Or Taisa says that a mikvah has to be water that's gathered together. It has to be be'ashboirin, not zoichlin, not flowing. Then the pasuk continues, es kol basaroi. When one goes to the mikveh, it has to be es kol basaroi, to teach us the mayim shekel gufa oilabahen, that all of his body can be covered in the mikveh. The kamehain, what is the minimum size of the mikveh? Says the Gemara, amal amma, an amma square, berum sholosh amas, but a height of 3 amas, because the shiur rechachomim, chazal taught us, may mikveh abom saw, that a mikveh has to be minimally 40 saw. So what's unique about this din? What's unique about this din, said Mepharshim, what's going to be the din if you have a person that's a midget? He doesn't need memsa to cover him when he goes to the mikveh. Does his mikveh still have to be memsa? Or perhaps his mikveh is as kol basari. As long as his entire body is covered, it's a kosher mikveh. The chiddush is that even though the Torah uses the words as kol basari, the minimum mikveh still is a bo memsa. But on the other hand, asked the Rishonim, what's going to be the halacha if you have a very big person? The memsa doesn't cover him. Will he be able to go to a mikveh memsa, or does he need a bigger mikveh? Most Rishonim say that such a person will need a larger mikveh. A smaller person needs memsa, but a bigger person needs a skobasaroi to cover his entire body. We talk about Hilchos Mikvos, we talk about the size of the mikveh. So Tosfos makes an observation that the Mishnah here, the Gemara, quotes the Braisa that says the minimum size of a mikveh is an amma by an amma by the height of 3 ammas. So first of all, let's talk about the width. An amma by amma square. Why amma by amma square? Because we should discuss, why does it have to be an amma by an amma? Because that's the general size of a person. His width and the depth take up an amma. But ask Rishonim, if that's the case, that it takes up an amma, then an amma by an amma is too tight of a fit. So some Rishonim say he takes up an amma by amma when he's wearing clothing. But when one goes to the mikveh, he takes off his clothing so he can fit in. Others say that's why a mikveh has to be square. A person's not square. Hopefully not. But he called it. So if the mikveh is a square, he's not, and that's how he could fit in. That's in the width. What about in the height? In the height, Taisa says that the average height of a person is actually more than 3 amas. However, once you have a person going into a mikveh that's 3 amas deep, his head, he could dunk down and cover his head. Other Rishayim, the Ramban, takes a different approach. He says a person is not more than 3 amas. 3 amas is more than 6 feet. I guess people were taller. Now most people aren't that tall. And therefore, that's the size of a mikveh. But the Mepaiskim do say an interesting point. Again, our mikvehs are obviously much larger than this minimum shear. The Pais can make a point that if the sheer mikveh is an amma by amma by 3 ammas, as Al-Gemara just taught us, the mikveh itself should really be bigger. Because if you're going to have a mikveh that's exactly an amma by an amma by 3 ammas full of water, if a person enters such a tub, he'll displace water. So you won't have the memsa anymore. So that's you have to leave room that when there's displacement, the water shouldn't go out of the tub. Now, we know, and Rashi really points to this, that our Mishnah, our Gemara is talking about a mikveh. That means you gathered water, so to speak, in a pool. It's not talking about Mayim Chayim. In fact, Rashi says that the Gemara doesn't need to teach us that you don't need Mayim Chayim, that you don't need a stream, because the Torah singles out by a Zov, there's a requirement for Mayim Chayim, which indicates that other times when a person has to go to the mikvah, he doesn't need Mayim Chayim. But now the question is, what is the halacha if one does immerse himself in Mayim Chayim? Is there a din of Memsa? So the Paiskim say, and this is halacha l'maisa, let's say somebody has to go to the mikvah and he's going to a stream. He's not going to a mikvah. What's the halacha? So as far as tefilas kelim, one has something, a keli, a utensil, a vessel that he has to be tevil, you don't need memsa, the Paiskim say. What about a person? So there's a three-way machlokes in Rishonim. Some say a very big kula, the Bahag, that when a person goes to a memsa, goes to a Mayim Chayim, he doesn't have to immerse himself in one time. He could immerse his hand and then his foot separately, which is not the halacha by mikvah. By mikvah, it has to be the entire body in one time. The Rabbeinu Tam disagrees. The Rabbeinu Tam says that a Mayim Chayim doesn't have to have memsa, but does have to be able to cover the entire person, whatever size he is, in one time. And the Ravid says that when a person's going to Mayim Chayim, he has the same halacha when he's going to mikvah, the Mayim Chayim has to have memsa in one place. One more point. The Mishnah says that the Chassidish Sfarim, actually the Nefesh Chaim discusses this also. What happens when one goes to the mikvah? Shekol gufay oyla behem. So the Paiskim can say we find this word oyla in halacha to mean bottle. In other words, it says many times that the shir by oyla, by shir by chuma, kama oyla. How much is the oyla bottle? Maya, 100 to 1 ratio, 200 to 1 ratio. When a person, what is the pshat, as best as we could understand and explain, when somebody goes to the mikvah, he has to be oily, he has to be mevatel himself to the mayim, to the purification, allow himself to become renewed, to become purified as he goes and immerses himself in a mikvah. Continues the Mara, Timaeus. Next example was something, Tumah, is something which the Mishnah again said doesn't have many psukim. Ask the Gemara, Michtak Sivim. The Torah speaks about what gives off Tumah. Says the Gemara, Nitzchol HaChadash Min HaSharetz. We know that there are shrotzim that give off Tumah. The halacha is that even if you have just the size of a lentil of a sheretz, that gives off Tumah. The Tanya. The like see that that's not explicitly written in the Torah. The Tanya. Behem. Yochel Bekulan. One would think that a sheretz only gives off Tumah when you have an entire sheretz. Tamalayim Mehem. That even a part of a sheretz gives off Tumah. Yochel B'Mektsasin. One would think that even the smallest part of a sheretz gives off Tumah. Tamalayim Bohem. You need a whole sheretz. Ha-Ketzad. Ad-Shi-Yagiyah B'Mektsasin Shekukulay. It has to be a minimal size that has the size of the smaller sheretz, which Shiru Chachamim, which Chazal established, was for Kadasha, the size of a lentil. Shekein Chaymet, Chaymet is a type of a snail, which is a sheretz, Tchilos B'Kadasha, when it is born, is the size of a Kadasha. That's why it's the minimum size of a sheretz is an Adasha, to give off Tumah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Hudayma, Kizon of Altar. Zon of Altar means the tail of a lizard. They looked at the tail of a lizard as a independent creature. Why? Because we know that if the tail of an animal or a lizard is cut off, it still moves around. We know because it has nerve endings. So therefore, since that's considered independent life, that's the minimum size to give off Tumah. And again, what's the Mishnah teaching us? That even though the Torah says, Bohem and Mayhem, so I would think that either you need a whole sheretz or any part of the sheretz. And here we say that neither is right. You need this minimum shear, which is in between. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Arayus. The next example the Mishnah gave us something that's not mentioned is Arayus. The Torah many times discusses illicit in relations that one may not enter. It says, if we look, and Rashi discusses this at length, if we look in the Torah, we find psukim. Very interesting. There are psukim that teach us, just to quote the psukim. There's one passage that says, "Ish ish, Rabnei Yisrael Taimer, ish ish." These psukim aren't even here. So I'll say it by heart. The Torah says that Ervas Ishu Bita, Baspino Baspita, Lesikrav Legalis Erva. The person is not allowed to have relations with his wife, his wife's daughter, and his wife's granddaughter. Then the Torah also says a pasuk. We'll see if I remember by heart. Ervas Baspincha Baspitcha. That you're not allowed to have relations with your granddaughter. So the first question is, why do we need two psukim about a granddaughter? The answer is, one is speaking not about a granddaughter. One is speaking about your wife's daughter or granddaughter, even if she's not your granddaughter. You're not allowed to have relations with her. The other pasuk is speaking about your granddaughter, even if she's a granddaughter, not through marriage. That means if chas v'shalom, somebody raped a woman and had a granddaughter, that granddaughter one's not allowed to have a relationship with. But there's a subject missing in the Torah. The Torah doesn't speak about one's daughter that was born out of anusa, out of somebody raped a woman and had a daughter. That the Torah doesn't say. So Rashi right away says, we don't need a pasuk. If you're not allowed to have relations with your granddaughter that emanated from a rape, certainly you're not allowed to have relations with your daughter that came around that way. So Rashi says we can't say that. Because we have a rule throughout Shas, ain't on Shimon Adin. We can't create an Aveira, we can't create that somebody should be chayiv an oinish, should be chayiv a punishment from a kavachayimah. So how do we know that one is not allowed to have relations with his daughter, that he wasn't married to this daughter's mother? And that the halacha will be that if one chas v'shalom does have such relations, he'll be chayiv sreifa. The answer is, you go back into Gemara, such a daughter, the like Siva that's not spoken about explicitly in the Torah, we learn a gzeira shava between your wife's daughter and granddaughter and your wife's granddaughter to compare them. So just like by your wife, who you're married to, you now have relations with a daughter, that creates a gzeira shava, that thing will also be with your daughter who's not from your wife. And then we learn Exereshava Zima, that just like there is a Chiv Sreifa, here too is a Chiv Sreifa. That's something not written in the Torah that our Mishnah refers to. So the Mishnah said, Hein Hein Gufei Torah. All these various subjects that we discussed in today's Shir are considered the fundamentals of the Torah. What about the subjects that we discussed yesterday? Shabbos and the other things that were referred to in the previous part of the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Hani in? Only this last group mentioned the Mishnah are the fundamentals of the Torah. Hanachloi, the other aren't. Ala Ema, Hein Vehein. All the subjects that are discussed in our Mishnah, Gufei Torah, are the fundamentals of the Torah.
What about those not mentioned in the Mishnah?
Obviously, are not the fundamentals. Hanu lachakel chayavim, hanu lachakel chayavim, hanu lachakel chayavim. The next Mishnah, and next couple of daft that we're going to learn, the Ezra Hashem, discuss very esoteric Kabbalah in Yonim. We'll do the best we can. Says the Mishnah, Ein darshan barayis b'shloisha. We're not supposed to teach, this is the way the Gemara is going to explain it to us in a few moments, we're not supposed to teach subjects about arayis to three students at a time. And we'll see soon why. And explain the Meiri, this is how this Mishnah, we're learning Masechta Chagiga, how does this Mishnah come here? Since the previous Mishnah ended discussing arayis, the Gemara we just learned a moment ago. So this is a continuation that when we're talking about arayis, ain darshan barayis b'shloisha, we shouldn't have three students. Ask the Tzeres Yisrael, so then this Mishnah should have been in the previous parak. Why is it in this parak? So he says a beautiful teretz. He says, if this Mishnah would have been in the previous parak, it would be the last Mishnah of the parak. How does this Mishnah end? As we're going to learn in a moment. So it means that's the way we would end the parak. We don't want to end the parak with Roy Loshla Bala Oilam. So that's why we made it the Chazal made it the first Mishnah of this parak rather than making it the last Mishnah of the previous parak. We're not supposed to have two students teaching them Maisa Bereshis. Taisa says Maisa Bereshis means that there's a Shem Hashem of 42 letters that could be extrapolated from the first words of the Torah. You don't teach that to two students. Others explain that Maisa Bereishis speaks about the depths of creation. Why not two students? So Shem say a very nice pshat. When you have two students, so not all students are on the same level. So let's say you explain something to the first student, to one student, and you see that he understands it. You then assume that if that student understands it, the other student also understands it. And that may not be the case. So, and now, such an important subject like Maisa Bereishis, you, the Rebbe, think that your student understands it, and he doesn't, and he's going to walk away with error. That's why I only have one student. V'loibim ha-kavad v'yachid, the Maisa ha-kavad, which is discussed in Yecheskel, and the Rishonim explain, what does Maisa ha-kavad mean? Maisa ha-kavad, as we know even in modern Hebrew, means ma-kivim, how you put something together with ingredients. Maisa ha-kavad is how it all comes together, how Kadosh Baruch Hu put it all together in running the world. You don't teach to yachid, elam ken ha-yachachum u-mevin midatoy. Unless this student is a chacham, is a talmud chacham, u-mevin midatoy. And like the Ein Yaakov says, this rule that the Mishnah says, elam ken ha-yachachum u-mevin midatoy, refers back to the first part of the Mishnah also. That even though we said that when it comes to rayas, we shouldn't have three students, that's if they're regular talmidim. But if the talmud is a chacham u-mevin midatoy, then you can have as many students as you want. So there's a few points to make here. The Ben Yoyada makes a very important point, which is really a shach. Here we're saying that teaching Kabbalah, you have to know who you teach. But the Ben Yoyada says, what do we see here? That to teach Kabbalah, the person has to be a chacham. The shach says that Kabbalah should only be taught to somebody who is malei kreisoi v'shas u'paiskim. The first of them, shas and shulchan aruch, then he could get to Kabbalah. I'm kind of a chacham. First you have to be a chacham, learn what you're supposed to, and then you could get to Kabbalah. So I saw from Rav Tzadik HaKoyin, he asks a very simple question. He says, if that's the case, that you have to be so careful who your students are when you teach them Kabbalah, you know, he says there are thousands of svarim that are written on the subject of Kabbalah. And a sefer, anyone can take into his hands. Yet Amish is teaching us you have to be so careful in who you teach Kabbalah. So he says, when Amish discusses teaching Kabbalah, it means teaching a Rebbe to a Talmud. A Rebbe to a Talmud, teaching him, has to be careful who his Talmud is learning Kabbalah. But somebody picking up a sefer, he says like this, if he understands what the sefer says, so fine. And if he doesn't understand, so he doesn't understand. So we don't have to be as concerned with a sefer as we are with a shir. Continues the Gemara. Kol mistakel b'arba dvarim. Whoever looks into four things, rosiloi. The machlokes, what the right word is. Is it royiloi or is it rosiloi? Rosi means it would be a rachmanis on him. It would be much better off. Kiloloi ba'al olam. They didn't come to the world. So the mefarshim ask, we know the Gemara says, noach loil adam, shloi nivra mishanivra. It would have been better for everyone not to be created. Why? Because as Rashi explains, there are more mitzvahs lois asay, the mitzvahs asay. So we're all in danger when we're alive, that we're more likely to do an aveira than to do a mitzvah. So what's unique about these four people? So I saw beautiful teretz. For the average person, it's noach loil shloi nivra. It's better than shemin created. Because he's in danger of doing aveira. But let's say you'll have a person, a tzaddik, that he doesn't have that problem. He's more likely to do mitzvahs and not do averus. So such a person should have been created. Yet teaches us the Mishnah, even though he should have been created, if he's mistakel, if he looks at these four things, even such a great tzaddik should not have been created. Who are they? What are they? Malamalo malamata. Rashi says, what's above, as best as we can explain, the chayis, the malachim, in Shemayim, Malamata, what's below the world, or below those chayas, Malafnim and Malachar. There's Machlaikis Rishonim, what Malafnim and Malachar means. Rashi says Malafnim and Malachar means what's on the outside of the globe, on the east side, and what's on outside the globe, on the west side. Taisvis, Rashi quotes a Taisvis, Malafnim means what was before the world was created, and Malachar what will be after the world will be created. The Meshech Chochma explains, Malafnim, Malachar, Malamala, Malamata, Malafnim, Malachar, he says that a person has to realize the Malamala, Malamata, who's on top and who's on bottom, who's on the right and who's on the left, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's all over. That's what we have to come to recognize. Another pshat I once saw is Malamala, who's on top, Malamata, the person that considers himself lamata. Malafnim, who's considered lafnim, is always lashon of kaidish. Who's in the kedusha? Malacha, the person who always considers himself at the back, considers himself humble. If somebody doesn't have the proper respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rosh Lashlai Balaylam should not have come to the world. Ask the Gemara. Amit Bereisha. First, our Mishnah tells us that a person should not learn the Maisim Mekaveh to a Yachid. And then the Mishnah goes right away says, so should you learn the Maisim Mekaveh? Should you not learn it? Says the Gemara Hachikama. Don't take three students, and we'll see soon why, for a rise. Don't take two students for the Maisim Bereishis. And don't take one student for the Maisim Mekaveh, unless that one student is worthy of learning the Maisim Mekaveh. So he said we shouldn't teach Arayis to three students. Asking my time, why? Ilay Mishum Niksiv, Ish, the pasuk that introduces the Parsha Arayis, says Ish, Akol Sher B'Sorai. Ish, that's two. Sher B'Sorai Chad is a third one. Vam Rachman, and the Torah is teaching us, Le'sikvu L'Galus Erva, that when you have three individuals, don't teach them Hilchis Arayis. Ask the Gemara, if that's Pshat, Elam Atad Iksiv, Ish, Ki Kalalakov. The Torah speaks about, Chas V'Shalom, somebody who curses Hashem. Ish, Ashiyite Mizar L'Moylech. Somebody who gives his child to this pagan practice of Moylech. Hachinami, are you going to say that you're not, that Pasuk is teaching us that you're not supposed to teach the halachas of Brichas Hashem to two students? You're not supposed to teach the halachas of Moylech to two students? Elahanim Abayle, what is the Pasuk teaching us? L'rabbis es anachrim shimuzharim abrichas Hashem alvadizari kisrol. When the Torah says the words ishis, it's come to teach us that these halachas, that one may not chas v'shalom curse Hashem's name, and one may not give his child to the Moylech, are not limited to Jews, but these dinim apply even to non-Jews. So that's what ish means. So hai nami mibayle, l'rabbis es anachrim, to teach us that non-Jews also may not have immoral relations. She must harm al arayis ki Yisrael. So that's not the source to teach us that we're not allowed to have three students for arayis. Ella, what is the source? Midiksiv. Vishmatem es mishmati. Vishmatem is a lashon rabim plural, so it means at least trait two. Mishmati is a lashon yochid, is chad is three. Vamrachmana levilti asois mechukai sataivis. So the Torah is teaching us, don't take three students to teach them about immoral acts. What's permissible and what's not? Al ma'atu d'ksiv v'shmatim sa Shabbos. We find the same word regarding Shabbos. V'shmatim sa mitzvahs. V'shmatim sa mishmeres sa kodesh. Are you going to suggest hachinami that if one gives a shir in Hilchos Shabbos, he can't have more than two talmidim? Is that the way to understand? Ela amar Rav Ashi. So what is the source? May ein darshim arayis b'shloisha. Why shouldn't you have three students when you're teaching parasha arayis? Ein tarshim v'sisri arayis. It means you now have to explain the Sisrei Arayis, the secrets of Arayis. And here we find a Machlokes Rishonim, what does Sisrei Arayis mean? Rashi says, Sisrei Arayis is like what we learned on Tapir Amid, that there's no explicit Pasuk in the Torah for Bita Minasasai. We learn it from a Drasha. That's what Sisrei Arayis means. But many Rishonim are bothered with Rashi's Pshat. Why shouldn't you teach that halacha? That even though the Torah doesn't tell us explicitly that one may not have a relationship b'bitoy minasasoy, it's still asr. So they say different pshatim. One pshat is, there are certain situations that the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch teach us that one may have a relation. If you teach it to a student who's not worthy, the Gemara will explain what it means in a moment, he may come to extrapolate other situations that he'll think are mutter, that are not really. So you have to be careful how you teach it those subjects. Another pshat is there are certain situation of arayis that are difficult to understand. We know that Cain and Hevel married their sisters. Not allowed to marry your sister. We know that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters. One's not allowed to marry two sisters. So even though these are subjects that are, there are explanations, api Kabbalah, api Sisrei HaTorah, it's not for everybody to be taught these subjects. But I saw a very interesting Drisha. The Drisha quotes a Ravya that says that this halacha that our Gemara teaches us, that the setting where Hilchas Arayis are taught is a specific setting. You don't want to have three students. It's only in those times when they learned Torah Shabbateh, Bateh. It wasn't learned from a Gemara, from a Shulchan Aruch. But now that everything is anyway committed to writing, this Gemara doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, why is there Taka an Issa to learn it with three people? Says the Gemara, Svaruhu. Beitrei, if you have two students, Kiyas v'kamer Rebbeyu, where they're sitting by the Magid Shir, and let's say one student asks a question of the Rebbe. So Chad Shok v'tari v'adi Rebbe, he talks to the Rebbe, v'idach matzli udne l'gemara. What does the other one have to do? He has to pay attention. He has nobody else to talk to. However, if you have klasa, you know this, all Magid Shir know about this, if you have three students, Chad Shok v'tari v'adi Rebbe, so one asks a question, but you have two students left. What do they do? For Hanach, Trey, the other two students, Shok Levatar Va'adadi. They talk. Hopefully they're talking and learning. But they talk with each other. But they're not V'lo Yodim Aikamer Rabbayu. But they don't listen to what the Rebbe said. And they may miss something important that the Rebbe is saying. That's why we have to be careful not to have three students. Because Asur L'Mashur Asur V'Rayis, they may come to say something which is Asur is Mutar. Ask the Gemara, if this is the concern, Yehachi Kala Tairanami. So the whole Torah, we should not allow to have three students for this concern. Says the Gemara, Arayis Shani. Arayis is different. Domamar, Gezel v'Arayis, these two specific Averis, Gzeil, stealing and Arayis, Nafsham, Mechamdason, Umasavalahem. And the Gemara says, Mechamdason refers to something that's not, to an Averis that's not part of you. Like Gzeila, it's not you, you want to steal a piece of property, or something, an item. Mesava is an aveira that comes from you, like erva. Ilachi gezel nami. If so, that because people have a proclivity to doing these averas, so and that's why we have to be so careful. So why is there an isra only by arayis? There should be an isra by gezel also. Says the Gemara, arayis, the yetzahara of arayis is a very strong yetzahara. And bein b'fonav, bein shloi b'fonav, even when it's not there, nafish etzrayu. We have to be very careful when we teach Hilchos Arayis. Gezel, yes, there is a yetzahara for gezel, but it's not as strong. It's b'fonav nafish etzrayu. It's only when the item that you want to steal is there a concern. Shloi b'fonav, loy nafish etzrayu, and that's why there's less of a concern. We learned, v'loi b'mas b'reish shnayim. Ask the Gemara anonymously, from where do we know this? Says the Gemara, the Tanur Rabbanan. The Pasuk says, Kish'alna l'yomim reshoinim. It's a Lashon Yochid. Yochid shayil, only an individual is allowed to ask these shayilis, vein shnayim shalom, but not two. Yochid yoshil adam, kaidim shnivir oilim. The person should be allowed to ask, as we discussed already in the Mishnah, what was here before the world was created. Tam loyma l'yomim ashabar alakim adam al aretz. Only from when creation began. Not from before. So perhaps even what happened during the Sheshes, you may bracious, you should not be allowed to ask. From the days that the world was here, one may ask. Above and below. What was within the confines of the world at the shoyl, vein at the shoyl malamala malamata malamat malafne malacher. These things you may not ask the Gemara. Hash to the nafgalei milktzeh shemayim vaktzeh shemayim. They were learning that you're limited to ask what's in the confines of the world from this pasuk. So then the question lemin hayoyim ashabar olakim adam al oritz that we taught. That it comes to teach us that you're not allowed to ask what was before is also in this pasuk. Why? Because the Mefarshim explained very deep that time is also creation. So we're only allowed to ask after what creation created, which is time. So we already know we're not allowed to ask what was before. Why do we need another pasuk? Says the Mari, right. This pasuk is coming to teach us a different limit. Kedrei Belozer. Dharma Belozer, Adam Rishon, when he was created, was mena aretz alurkia, was so tall, posh pshan the Gemara, that he reached the shemayim. Shnemar, lemena yoyim ashabar alakim odam ala aretz. The person reached the Adam, reached up to the Shemayim. The Kivin Shesarach, but after he did the Avera, Haniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yadav Olav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his hands on him, Omiyatoi. Shenemar, Ocha V'kedem Tzartani, V'toshes Alay Kapecha. So the Rasha says, what's Pshat Kapecha? Kapecha is a Gemak, a Kaf, 100 Amis. First, the person, as we can understand this Gemara, reached all the way to the Shemayim, and then he was only 100 amos tall. It's 200 feet. But he was only 200 amos tall. Masha also says, what happened? When the Kadosh Baruch Hu created the person, and Rashi really alludes to this in Parashas Bereishis, the person was created both with Midas Hadin and Midas Harachmim. But the person showed that he, those are two hands. One hand is Midas Adin, and one hand is Midas Arachmim. But the person showed that he cannot survive with the Midas Adin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away one hand and was just left with the hands of Midas Arachmim. Obviously, in explaining this Gemara, it's difficult to explain the Gemara. He was up to, he reached the Shemayim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him smaller. So I saw two pshatim, there are more pshatim I'm going to mention too. One pshat, a very beautiful pshat for the Mizritcha Magid, is that when a person was created, we know that the world has two parts. It has Shemayim, which represents Ruchnius, and has Oretz, which represents Gashmius. A person, the Adam, when he was created, went from the Oretz to the Rekia. He was able to be the bridge between Gashmius and Ruchnius. But when he did the Aveira, he showed that he can't accomplish that goal. Another pshat is that when the person was created, he had the understanding, had the ability to understand the Achdus Hashem. He was able to understand what Hashem really is all about. But then, after he did the Aveira, that Aveira clouds our understanding of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Continues the Gemara. Amar Yehuda Marav. Adam Arishin, Mitzayfa Oilam Vatzayfa Haya. He was wide from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Shinamar, Lemena Yoyim Ashabar Lekim Ada Oretz, Mukzeh Shemayim, Mekzeh Shemayim. The Kivin Shesarach HaKadosh, Kivin Shesarach, after he did the Aveira, Haniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodav Olav, Umato, he made him smaller. Shenemar, V'tashas like a pecha. So ask the Gemara, Yehochi Kashikra Adadi, we have a stira. Did he reach the heaven, or did he go from one side of the world to the other side of the world? Says the Gemara, Idi Vida Chatshur, there's no kasha, because they're both the exact same shear. Again, this is a difficult Gemara to understand. How do you take up the entire world? A big portion of the world is oceans and rivers. Pshat is that he wasn't in this world. He was in Gan Eden. Gan Eden is a different world.